Good evening. Welcome to Altered 80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin. I'm Brett Van Heekeren. Thank you for your company tonight. A bit of a Clash extravaganza tonight, featuring the much maligned triple album from the Clash, Sandinista. Well, during the punk transition period from the late 70s into the early 80s, the Clash were labelled as the only band that matters. And that was largely due to the phenomenal success of their double album, London Calling, which was met with widespread critical acclaim and retrospectively named one of the greatest albums of all time. So, how does the only band that matters even attempt to follow up a double album that carried such esteem? Well, you release a triple album, right? Which is exactly what the Clash did in 1980. It was a sign of their credential and pulling power that a record company would even allow this to happen. According to the band member Joe Strummer, the decision to release the triple LP was their way of mocking their record company, as they would, CBS, for resisting their desire to release London Calling as a double album, then releasing Bruce Springsteen's double album, The River, less than a year later. Not only did they push the envelope to get a triple album in the stores, they also insisted on it being released at the price of a single album. The record company agreed, but the Clash had to forgo any royalties on the first 200,000 copies sold in the UK and a 50% cut in royalties elsewhere. So the album, a triple album, is actually an astonishing accomplishment containing 36 tracks that crosses an extraordinary diverse range of genres, including funk, reggae, jazz, bit of gospel in there, some rockabilly, some folk, some dub, rhythm, blues, calypso, disco and rap. So you can imagine the surprise when the multitude of fans of the Clash opened the shrink wrap, expecting another dish of London Calling, only to be confronted with this 2.5-hour extravaganza of musical styles full of dub reggae goofs, sound effects, proto-rap experiments that even included a chorus of bleating sheep. So, the common critical assessment of the body of work wasn't favourable. Surprise, surprise. With many music critics just not understanding its voluminous composition and experimental content, labelling it as an album full of filler and B-sides. The consensus was that it would be stronger as an hour-long experience. But some 40 years down the track, it's seen in a different light. In a 40-year anniversary retrospective, Rolling Stone magazine wrote, "The Clash made a risky mess of a masterpiece with Sandinista, but for many fans, it's the band at their boldest, loosest, rudest, rowdiest, and just flat-out best. Why a triple album? Well, Joe Strummer said, I don't care about all the artistic reasons. That's all bullshit, he said. We were having a joke because everyone said we were mad to release London Calling as a double, and then Springsteen put out The River as a double as well. So we thought, right, Bruce, suck on this, in true Clash style. Well, perhaps it's just a misunderstood masterpiece, but the diverse range of musical styles demonstrating the capabilities of the band, along with the really experimental production elements woven through the work, I think places this album in the same space as the Beatles' White Album. This week, an Altered 80s, highlights from the much maligned Clash triple album from 1980, Sandinista.
You know what? I'm so my baby to sophistication. Seen the ad, cause it's nice. Better work hard, I seen the price. Never mind that, it's time for the bus. We got to work, and you're one of us. Folks go slow in a place of work. Minutes drag and the hours jump. Yeah, wait, bye-bye. Bye-bye to the boss. It's our profit, it's his loss. But anyway, the lunch bell rings. Take 1 hour, do your fine. Chief Boyga. What do we have for entertainment? Cops kicking gypsies on the pavement. Now the news has led to attention. Lunar landing of the Vintage Convention. Italian mobster shoots a lobster. See-through restaurant gets out of hand. Car in the fridge, a fridge in the car. A cowboy's doing TV land. And sweat some more. The sun will sink and we'll get out the door. It's no good for man to work in cages. Hit the town, he drinks his wages. Your friend, your sweat. But did you notice you ain't getting? Your friend, your sweat. But did you notice not getting anywhere? Don't you ever stop long enough to start. Take your car out of that gear. Don't you ever stop long enough to start. Get your car out of that gear. Call the marks, a fire and aliens. Came to the jacket at the 7-Eleven. Marks was good, but he has sense. Engels, Lenin, the necessary events. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got? Yeah. What do we got? Magnificent. What do we got? Luther King and Mahatma Gandhi went to the park to check on the game. But they was murdered by the other team. Went on to win 50-0. It can be true. You can be false, you'll be given the same reward. Socrates and Milhouse Dixon both went the same way through the kitchen. Plato the Greek or in Thin Thin. Who's more famous to the billion millions? Who's Flash? Vacuum cleaner sucks up Fudgy. Bye bye. We'll be right back.
This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin. And tonight, taking in highlights from The Clash's 1980 much maligned album. And it's called Sandinista. The three tracks you've heard already will give you an indication already of the diversity of sounds that are heard on this triple album. You heard Rebel Waltz, and before that you heard one of the singles off the album called Hitsville UK, which is a bit of a Motown-inspired vibraphone romp about the music biz, which features Mick Jones singing with his American girlfriend Ellen Foley. Bit of a different gig for Ellen than singing backing vocals for Meatloaf, right? The album recorded in Jamaica, London, and most significantly New York, where the growing hip-hop scene really inspired The Clash to write their first ever UK rap record, and that opened the program this evening, The Magnificent Seven. And look, very much inspired by the New York scene and American culture, the album. And as you'll hear when we take in more highlights from the much maligned lowest charting album by The Clash, it's really an extraordinary album, especially for a punk band, really. This is a gargantuan project. But although The Clash are a punk band, this is firmly not a punk album. In fact, it's incredibly tough to really pin down what Sandinista is about. You can't pin it down to any single genre, as you'll hear this evening. Some critics wrote that with some track editing, it would make an exceptional reggae album.
Go, go, go. Again, of course, you're listening to WBAI in New York, and this program is Labrish. My name is Habte Selassie, and we're speaking with Baba, or maybe Ras Baba.
Can I give a message? Hello?
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I'd just like to say, let's have some music now, huh?
Okay. Thank you.
You're right.
Like one!
That's Lightning Strikes from The Clash's album Sandinista, and a track that clearly demonstrates the influence of the New York hip-hop scene on The Clash during the recording of this album, particularly in New York. And also that track highlights the influence of Norman Watt Roy, magnificent bass player, and Mickey Gallagher, keyboard player from Ian Drury's Blockheads, which really gave this album a bit of an additional pizzazz, if you will. Before that, you heard The Call Up, which was the first single lifted off the album, and we began that bracket with Equalizer, one of the many reggae dub tracks on the album. This is Alt.80s, the 80s music program with a bit of an alternative spin on 2MCFM, and tonight featuring the Gargantuan Project by The Clash called Sandinista. And Sandinista certainly demonstrates The Clash were no longer just a working class band who knew only of the aggressions taking place in working class England. They were a band who'd seen the aggressions taking place throughout the world.
I've got to lose this. my mama looked at. Your children are playing in the street again. Don't you know what happened down there? A youth of 14 got shot down there. The cocaine guns jammed downtown. The killing clowns are blood money men. Shooting those Washington bullets again. As every cell in Chile will tell the cries of the tortured men. Remember Allende and the day before, before the army came. Please remember Victor Jara in the Santiago Stadium. Verdad, those Washington bullets again. And in the Bay of Pigs in 1961, Havana for the playboy in the Cuban sun. For Castro is the color is a redder than red. Those Washington bullets want Castro dead. For Castro is the color. Double a new spray of lead. America, human rights in America. The people for the leader and our people. With the Washington bullet, what else could you do? If we can find an Afghan rebel that the Moscow bullet missed, ask him what he thinks of voting communist. Ask the Dalai Lama in the hills of Tibet, how many monks did the Chinese get in a war-torn swamp? Stop any mercenary and check the British bullets in his armory.
It's The Clash and Charlie Don't Surf. It owes its title and chorus to, Francis Ford Coppola's stoner classic Apocalypse Now. But the song's is it much about the American hegemony and absurd racism as much as it's about Vietnam, Charlie Don't Surf. Before that, you heard the track that gives the album its title, Washington Bullets, which is an extraordinary track. It's Joe Strummer at his most expansive, rattling off references to American expansionism and CIA-sponsored conflicts, and began that track with Loose This Skin featuring the amazing Timon Dog on vocals and on violin. Well, we've been listening to Sandinista, the 36-track extravaganza released by The Clash in 1980, which was critically slammed, but in retrospect is seen as a little bit of a classic, really. This is the point at which The Clash are one of the best bands in the world, and here we have the opposite of a commercial project. The Clash just didn't move forward. They actually moved outward from this album, out of punk, out of mainstream sensibilities, and out of the top of the charts. And it was an interesting album in the context of the Clash's discography. It's in between their magnum opus, I guess, London Calling, and then their most commercially successful record, the double platinum Combat Rock. But to me, this is their finest work. Hope you've enjoyed our little trip through The Clash's Sandinista tonight on Alt.80s. Going to leave you with a track which is a little bit of a pop beauty on this album. It's called Up in Heaven. For more alternative 80s music, please join me next Tuesday night from 6 o'clock.